Beruchim and Imsaim, ladies. We are studying today Parashat Beshalach. A parasha, of course, talks about the Exodus, when the Jewish people came to the Yam Suf, and the sea split in front of them, and eventually drowned the Egyptians. The Pasuk says, when they got to the Yam Suf, so Moshe Rabbeinu started to pray to God for a miracle. So in chapters Yud Dalid and Pasuk Terva, Vayomer Adonai and Moshe, God tells Moshe, Matetzak Elai. What are you praying to me for? Matetzak Elai. Tetzak is to scream out in prayer. Daber el Bnei Yisrael v'yisa'u. Tell the Jewish people to travel. So Rashi says, Lamadnu Shayam Moshe Omedu Mitpalel. Moshe Rabbeinu was praying. So God says, what are you praying to me? Speak to the Jewish people and let them travel. If you look at the Targum, the Aramaic interpretation of this pasuk, Va'amar Adonai Moshe, God says to Moshe, Kabelit Selotach, I accepted your prayers. So when it says Matetzak Elai, what are you praying to me? That's another way of saying, what are you praying to me? I answered you already. You don't have to pray. Your prayers were answered. Just tell the people, forward march. On this pasuk over here, I saw brought down in the Sefer Imre Kodesh, which I think is a very big hiddush, regarding the secret of prayer. Baruch Hashem, all of us pray from time to time. Especially the ladies, God bless them, they have their tehillim, and they have all their personal prayers that they pray for themselves, and their children, and their family, and their husbands. But we always need to enhance our tefillot, to figure out different methods that our prayers will be answered. It's not enough just to say the words. It seems that there's different tricks. I say tricks. Different preparations that we can make on ourselves, or conditions, that if we fulfill these conditions, the prayers have a better chance to be answered. What's the condition? That's what I came to tell you today. The Hachamim, when they talk about character traits, there's one trait that stands out more than all the traits, and that's the trait of humility. The Mishnah Pirkei Avot says, Me'od me'od heveh shefal ruach. The Mishnah doesn't say be humble, nor does it say be very humble. The Mishnah says be very, very humble. I don't think by any other trait does the Hachamim use this Lashon, Me'od Me'od. Me'od Me'od Evesh Val Ruach. And almost every book that talks about ethics has a chapter dedicated to humility. For example, there's a sefer called Mesilat Yesharim that was written by the Rabbi Moshe Haim Lutzato. We spent many years studying the sefer. He has a whole section dedicated to this one midah. Even though he has many chapters, he doesn't talk about every single trait. He doesn't have a chapter dedicated to anger, and he doesn't have a chapter dedicated to miserliness. But he has three chapters, if I remember correctly, dedicated to the midah of humility. And so too, many of the great Hachamim, when they wrote their books, they talked about this trait in a very elaborate way. As a matter of fact, the Gemara writes on the two Pesukim. The Gemara says there's two ways to reach fear of God. One way is Reshit Chochma Yirat Adonai. When one attaches himself to wisdom, The wisdom of the Torah, the wisdom of the Torah can bring him to fear of God. But there's another pasuk. Ekev anava yirat Adonai. On the count of humility, it can bring you to fear of God. So the rabbis say, look, the word ekev means a heel. The heel is the tip, the end. The Gemara says, the tip, the heel of humility is as great as the rosh of chokhmah, at the head of chokhmah. Rishit chokhmah yirat Adonai. Ekev anava yirat Adonai. That what the head of wisdom can do, the heel of humility can do the same thing. That means even a small measure of this midah is able to bring a person to the same destination as the head of divine wisdom can. On this subject, there is a Gemara in Hulin. The Gemara in Hulin, and I quote it, says the following. On the Pasuk, it says, God chose us from all the nations. Vayivhar bechem, God says, I chose you. Ki atem hama'at mikol ha'amim, because you are the smallest of all the nations. Amar lema kadosh baruch hu liYisrael, God tells the Jewish people, Hoshkani bechem, I crave you. I love you. She'afilu b'sha'a she'ani mashpi alachem gedula, even when I influence you with greatness and I give you great blessing, you minimize yourself. You don't let your success go to your head. You don't become arrogant or pompous. Natati gedula l'Avraham. God says, I gave greatness to Avraham. Nobody was as great as Avraham. Avraham had wealth. Avraham had thousands of students. Avraham had his own army. Avraham Avinu was very, very popular. He met kings. He was very influential. And with all the greatness that Avraham got, what does it say? V'anochi afar va'efer. What does Avraham Avinu say about himself? What am I? I'm nothing. I'm dust. I'm ashes. God says, look at these people. The more blessing I give to them, the more humble they are. Nemoshe v'aharon. Look at the success that Moshe Rabbeinu had. Moshe Rabbeinu took the Jews out of Egypt. Moshe Rabbeinu went up and received the Torah, gave the Torah to the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu was responsible for constant miracles in the desert for 40 years. And what does Moshe Rabbeinu say about himself in one of the talks that he has with the people? V'nachnu ma. He says, what am I? Ma, ma is nothing. Ma, what am I? Who am I? What am I? And then the pasuk, the Gemara says, Le David, God says, I gave power and prestige to King David. King David is the first of the kings of David, the Davidic dynasty. The great-great-grandfather of Mashiach. The father of the wisest man that ever lived, King Solomon. David HaMelech was wealthy. David HaMelech is responsible for purchasing the property where they eventually built the Beit HaMikdash. David HaMelech himself drew up the plans for the Beit HaMikdash. How great is David? The greatest warrior in our history. And when David HaMelech reflects about himself, what does he say? In Tehillim, in his 22nd chapter, V'anuchi tola'at ve'lo ish. What am I? I'm nothing. I'm a tola'at. I'm a worm. I'm insignificant. So God says, you don't think I should love the Jewish people? Normally when you give a person a certain blessing, it goes to his head. He becomes arrogant. He becomes haughty. He becomes a braggart. He thinks he's better than everybody else. He dominates over people. He looks down at people. He says, look at these people, the Jewish people. I gave greatness to Abraham, and he calls himself Afar Va'efer. He says, I'm Efer. Efer is ashes. He says, I gave greatness to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ma, Ma, I'm nothing. And I gave greatness to David HaMelech. And what does David HaMelech say? Ba'anuchi tola'at. I'm a worm. I once saw a beautiful derasha. Why does the Mishnah say, Me'od me'od hevesh v'al ruach? Be very, very humble. The word me'od means very. But the rabbis are hinting to you that the three most humble people were who? Moshe Rabbeinu, Avraham Avinu, and David HaMelech. That stands me'od. Me'od is Moshe, Abraham, David. So they're saying, Me'od, Me'od, be humble. Be humble like who? Like Me'od. Like the three tzaddikim that the Gemara talks about. But I'll tell you something else. There's a rabbi called Hatam Sofer. Hatam Sofer says a big chidush. There was a prophet called Malachi. Malachi once was talking about the greatness of Aharon HaKohen. So when he talks about Aharon, the prophet says, Torat emet hayeta befihu. In Aharon's mouth, he had the Torah of emet. He had true Torah. What does that mean? All the rabbis have true Torah. Of what? Only Aharon had Torat emet. All the tzaddikim have Torat emet. Asher natan lanu Torato Torat emet. What does it mean that specifically Aharon Torat emet ayeta befihu? He says something amazing. If he didn't say it, actually he quotes from a rabbi called Rabbeinu Bachya. Rabbeinu Bachya Ibn Pakuda. He was a rabbi from Spain. He wrote a book called Chovot HaLevavot, Duties of the Heart. One of the most important books you could ever read in your life. It's a book on ethics. Originally he wrote the book in Arabic. Later on, it was translated into Hebrew, so we could understand it. When I studied in Lakewood Yeshiva, I saw the original text of the Chovot HaLevavot in the library, which was written in Arabic. Like many of the old books were written in Arabic. So important is this book, Chovot HaLevavot. The author of the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Karo, from time to time, he was visited by an angel. An angel would come to talk to Rabbi Yosef Karo. And he wrote a book documenting all these visits that he got from the angel. We have the book, it's in the library inside. The book is called Magid Mesharim. And he writes, on this date, at this time, the angel came to me and told me, do this, stop doing that, this is so, hadush, and so on. Rabbi Yosef Karo learned with angels. So he writes in one of the entries over there, that the angel came down and recommended that I study the book Chovot HaLevavot. Could you imagine? That means this book, whenever you open a book, it has a haskama, it has an approval. Who recommends it? Thank God this book never made it to the New York Times bestsellers list. Baruch Hashem, and it'll never make it. Because only things that are corrupt make it to that list. But this book made it to the list of the angels in heaven, and they recommended it to the Shulchan Aruch Rabbi Yosef Karo that he should read it. Mandatory reading. One day, Bezat Hashem, I think we're going to have to teach this book because it's a lot of secrets in the sefer. In one of the chapters, it's called Sha'ar HaTeshuvah, in chapter 8. So he says like this, Ba'ale teshuvah, what is a person of teshuvah? Person that repents. Elehem she'omdim bedarka yoter gevoha matzadikim. She'lo avru me'odam lo al averot ele ve'lo al averot domot. He says a ba'al teshuvah is greater than a tzadik. A tzadik is somebody that never made a sin. But somebody that made sins and repented is greater than a tzadik. How could that be? You show me a person over here, he never made a sin in his life. Wow, incredible. Because his end. They say, oh, this guy over here, he made a lot of sins, but he repented. So the rabbi says, the one that made the sins and repented, he's better than the tzaddik. How could that be? So he explains. V'ta'am adavar, the reason. Mipnei she'tzaddik shelo chata af pa'am. The tzaddik that never sinned. En anu betuchim bo shelo yitga'eh. We're not sure that he doesn't have arrogance. Because since he's a perfect tzaddik, he knows he's a tzaddik. And if he knows he's a tzaddik, it might go to his brain, and he might feel a little good about himself. He might feel a little higher because he's a tzaddik. Ve'lo yagbiya et libo ve'lo yitnaseh ve'gal ma'asav atobim. Ve'shelo yipol al yedei kach le'madrega nemucha yoter ma'achote. And if he becomes arrogant, he says arrogance would be worse than the worst sinner because he has arrogance. So his righteousness could lead him to arrogance. And he quotes a pasuk. And he says, Kemoshe, kevan ne'emar, lefa'amim. This line, I cannot imagine this line. The truth is, I have to, forgive me, I'm going to take out my highlighter in front of you so you see it. But I have to highlight this line just so I remember that my eyes shouldn't skip over it again. He says, lefa'amim, mu'il ha'chet le'ba'al ha'teshuvah, that the sin is beneficial to the ba'al teshuvah, yoter mimah shemu'ilot la'tzadik kol tzedkotav. He says sometimes the sin is more beneficial than the mitzvah of the tzadik. How could a sin be more beneficial than the mitzvah? So he says, v'lef'amim mazikah ha'sidkut la'tzadik, yoter mimah shemazikim le'ba'al teshuvah kol hata'av. And sometimes the mitzvot of the tzaddik are more damaging than the sins of the Ba'al Teshuvah. How could this be? How could it be that a sin can be greater than a mitzvah? So he says, Umatai ze kore. When does this happen, the tzaddik? Kishe sidkuto goremet lo lefnot olef lahachna'a ulhedabek begaava. When the mitzvot of the tzaddik cause him to be ga'ava. When a person is so religious, we see sometimes people have become very religious, they become arrogant. They think they're better than everybody else. They look at everybody else, oh, what are you doing? What is he doing? What are you eating? Where are you going? What are you dressing? What are you talking? Oh, because they're religious. So they feel, and you hear the people say, what does he think? He's holier than thou. So the Chavotava talks about this. Don't think there's nothing new under the sun. This holier than thou was around 1,000 years ago when he wrote the book. He says, the people become very religious, they never make any sins, but they walk around feeling with their nose in the air. So the rabbi says, on the contrary, the guy who made sins and made teshuvah, he has humility because he's embarrassed of his sins. He remembers his checkered past. He remembers that maybe he wasn't such a good guy. Maybe when he was young, he did things he was not supposed to do. So that always keeps him humble. So the sin brings him to humility, where the mitzvah of the tzaddik brings him to arrogance. V'chen amar ahad ha-tzaddikim b'talmidav. One of the tzaddikim told his students, Ilu lo haya lachem avon. He says, I'm very happy that I see my students have sins. Because if he didn't have a sin, הייתי מפחד עליכם. I would be afraid. שלא תקשלו בדבר שהוא גרוע מעוון. That you might stumble on something that's even worse than a sin. שאלו אותו תלמידיו, איזה דבר הוא גרוע מעוון? What could be worse than a sin? ענה להם הצדיק, הגאווה והצביעות. Arrogance. Wow. Did I hear Rabbi tell you that the worst sin that a person can commit in the whole religion is arrogance? They tell you, no, kosher meat, lashon hara, all the things that we go to classes all day long. And the Chavot HaNavot has to come and tell you that there's something that's even bigger than all the sins, and that is ga'ava. He says, but I'm happy that you have sins, because since you have sins, you're embarrassed of what you did, and therefore you'll never become haughty. And he writes, that's what it means. במקום שבעלי תשובה עומדים, הם צדיקים גמורים יכולים לעמוד. Where the Baal Teshuvah stands, even the biggest tzaddik cannot stand. Because the biggest tzaddik, sometimes his mitzvot cause him to lose humility. And the Baal Teshuvah always is walking around feeling guilty and feeling ashamed and feeling humiliated in his mind. And therefore he doesn't have any haughtiness. Aaron HaKohen, I'm sorry to tell you, it was a tzaddik. but he had a sin. Not only did he have a sin, but the sin of Aaron is considered a major sin, where the Torah writes it. The Torah says it explicitly. What was the sin of Aaron? The Jewish people came to Aaron and they said, "We want to build the Eged." So Aaron HaKohen said, "Okay, give me all the gold that you have in your ears, and give me all the jewelry. I'm not going in too much in the story, but the Torah says that that was considered a sin of Aaron." And the Torah puts the onus on Aaron. How come he had a hand in the Egel, which is considered Avodah Zarah? But you know what? Aaron made Teshuvah. Of course Aaron repented. But as a result of that sin, Aaron became very humble. Only somebody that makes a mistake, only somebody that stumbles in life, only somebody that makes an error once, he knows what it means to be human. He knows what it means to be fallible. And that keeps him anav. And you know what the prophet meant when he said, Torat emet hayta befihu? What did Avraham Avinu say about himself? Avraham Avinu said, "I am Efer." That's an aleph. What did Moshe Rabbeinu say about himself? Ma, that's a man. And what did David HaMelech say about himself? Tola'at. Efer. Ma. Tola'at is emet. Torat emet hayta befihu. The Torah of humility was in Aaron. He had the humility of all three combined. You know why he had Torat emet? Because he had sins. Because he had sins, the sins kept him humble. I'm not promoting anybody to make sins over here. You could rely on the sins that you already made till now, before you came to the class. Nobody's a tzaddik, including the rabbi himself. Oh. There is a halakha in the Shulchan Aruch. By the way, and when Aharon was chosen to be the Kohen Gadol, this is a side point, so Moshe Rabbeinu tells Aharon, "Okay, go into the Mishkan and bring the sacrifice on the first day." So he goes into the Mishkan, he brings the sacrifice, but the Shekhinah does not come down. So Aharon turns to Moshe and says, "Maybe the Shekhinah is not coming down because of my sins." So Moshe Rabbeinu tells Aaron, "Don't be hesitant." He says, "Shehaya Aaron bosh." Aaron was embarrassed. V'yarela geshet. He was afraid to come close because the Shekhinah wasn't coming down. Amar lo Moshe. Moshe tells him, "Lama ata bosh? Why are you embarrassed? Lechach nevharta. That's why you were chosen." What does it mean? Because you're embarrassed, that's why you were chosen. You're saying that maybe the Shekhinah is not coming down because you did the Egel? On the contrary, to you the Egel and that sin brought you to humility. Lekach nevharta. Your sin is greater than the mitzvah of the biggest tzaddik. Because the mitzvah of the biggest tzaddik made him arrogant. But you have Torat emet. This sin over here weighs on you very greatly. And therefore, because you're embarrassed of the sin, and because you remain low, lekach nevharta. There's a halakha written in the Shulchan Aruch. I don't have the Shulchan Aruch in front of me, but you can check it up. It's in the halakha 98 in Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi Moshe Isserlish brings down, Shekodem atefilah yachshov adam b'shifnut atzmo. Before a person prays, and here's what I'm getting to the secret, the condition for a prayer to be answered is called shifnut. Humility. So the Rama writes, before you open the Siddur, you have to think about your lowliness. Today when a person comes into the synagogue, and right away he's fighting to sit in the front row to finish his tefillah, they're not going to be answered. I'll tell you from now. I don't care how much he shakes in the Amidah, But you're coming into the prayers with ga'ava. Or he comes into the synagogue like he owns it with his phone, and he's texting as he's sitting, and he's walking, and he's talking on the phone when he walks into the synagogue. But who's you're in? If you walked into the White House, you'd walk in with a phone in your hand. They wouldn't let you. And you walk into God's house with ga'ava, with a phone in your hand, like you're walking into your den or to your living room. Ga'ava. So therefore the Rama says, hey, before you open the sidur, before you sit down to pray, shekodem atefilah yachshov ha'adam b'shiflut atzmo. You have to think about your inadequacies. You have to think about, chas v'shalom, your weaknesses, about your humanness, and now you're about to go and turn to Borei Olam. The Gemara says in Berachot, listen to a Gemara on page 10. Al ya'amod adam b'mkom gavoa v'yitpalel. What does that Gemara mean? A person is not allowed to stand in a high place when he prays. Simple Gemara, the way we taught it in Daf Yomi, you can't stand on a chair when you pray. Why would a person want to stand on a chair? Kacha. Let's say the floor is wet. So he wants to stand on the chair, and he wants to pray the Amidah. Why can't he stand on the chair? Because the Gemara says he's going to be so preoccupied from falling, so he's not going to be able to have Kavanah. So they say, Al yitpalel, al ya'amod adam b'mkom gavoa, ela b'mkom namoch. Pray in a low place. Shne'emar, mima'amakim kiraticha Adonai. I don't know if you ever visited the old Sephardi synagogues in Sfat. If you visited the synagogues there, you'll see something amazing. The teva, where the hazan stands, a lot of them are lower than the actual synagogue itself. The hazan would stand from the depths of the synagogue. Like it says, "Mima'amakim kiraticha Hashem." So one of the rabbis said, what's the depth of this Gemara? Why do they want you to pray in a low place? Because praying in the low place will remind you of humility. Not standing on a chair or in a high place where the person thinks he's the tallest one, that already puts in his mind ga'ava. So it's not only that we're worried he might fall off the chair, or he might fall off the cliff. We're worried that the subliminal message of praying in a high place will give the person that thinking he's also high. And once a person goes into the tefillah thinking he's something, finished. Close the sidur, don't waste your time. Berakala batala. Oh. So the Hakamim say like this. When Yishmael was the son of Abraham. Abraham had kicked him out because he was a bad influence. If you remember, he was dying of thirst. And he was lying in the field. And his mother was there. And it says Ishmael started to pray to God that God should save him from this death. So the Pasuk says, Kishama Elohim el kol ha-na'ar. God listened to the voice of the na'ar. Ba'asher husham. Over there. I guess he was lying on the floor. He was saying, God Almighty, Ishmael believed in God. God Almighty, I'm dying of dehydration. Please help me. So the Pasuk says that God tells Hagar, the mother, don't worry. I answered the boy's prayers. Kishama Elohim et kol ha-na'ar. God has listened to the prayers of the boy. Ba'asher husham. What does those words mean? Ba'asher husham. Literally means he answered him over there. Husham, over there. What does that mean? Where's he going to answer? Over there? Where's he going to answer? He's over there. Where are you going to answer? Those words are extra. It should say, God answered the boy's prayers. Ba'asher husham, over there he answered him. Where's he going to answer him, I'm asking. I saw a tremendous chiddush. Huh? He saved him because all of a sudden there was a water. He made a miracle where water showed up over there. So his mother came along and gave him a glass of water. So, but I'm asking you, what does it mean by Bashir Husham over there? Of course over there. Where's he going to answer it from? From China? He answers him where he is. Ayash Rochev. Again. Where's Husham?
It means in his state of doing Shuvah, because he was answering him
Ah, so you want to say Bashir Hashem in his state? Okay, I accept. No problem. I accept. Okay, the class is over. No, I'll explain to you. You're saying it. There's a sefer on the Kabbalah. Don't say it too loud. It's called Sha'are Ora. Sha'are Ora, in the second Sha'ar, he reveals a big secret. He says like this, and I quote, Ve'ata, Yeshlanu lehudi'acha, I must tell you, Ma ben tefilat chutz la'aretz the tefilat Eretz Yisrael. There's a difference between the prayers that are made outside of Israel to the prayers that are made inside of Israel. Veda, ki tefilat Eretz Yisrael, a prayer that's made in Israel, dome lemi she'ud sarich ledaber im ha-melech u'beto karov la-melech. It's like he has to ask something from the king, and he's close to the king. He's talking, it's a local call. Ve'en satan, ve'en pegara, ve'lo mashchit baderech. Since it's a local call, the prayers don't have to travel too much. So the satan and all the mazikim and all the negative energies don't have a chance to grab it, because it goes direct. It's like you're handing the mail directly to the king. So there's nobody that's able to sabotage it. V'tefilat chutz la'aretz, but the prayers that are done outside of Eretz Yisrael, dome lemi shesarich ledaber im ha-melech, u'beto rachok me'od min ha-melech. It's like somebody has to ask the king for something, but he lives very far away from the palace. V'yesh baderech kama listim v'kama pega'im ra'im v'kama hayot ra'ot. But to get to the palace, there's a lot of interference. There's a lot of wild animals. There's a lot of potholes. There's a lot of damage. Atare'e kama adam sarich nizahir kede shiimalet menezek aderech. How much does he have to be careful to protect himself on the road? So he writes that when a person prays in Chutz La'aretz, the prayers don't go directly up. The prayers have to travel from this zip code, 11223, and they have to travel all the way to Jerusalem. That's 10 hours by plane. Maybe the tefillot, they travel quicker. There's no security, there's no all that. But from here to Israel, there's a lot of interference on the roads, in the heavens. And who knows if the tefillah will ever make it there. That's why we face Jerusalem when we pray. Why do we face Jerusalem? Because all the prayers have to travel to Jerusalem. And then they go to the Kotel HaMa'aravi, the Western Wall. And above the Western Wall, if you can see it, you'll see a gateway. There's a tunnel. I never saw it, but I know it's there. Yaakov Avinu saw it. When Yaakov Avinu went to the Temple Mount and he got up from his dream, he said, V'zeh Sha'ar HaShamayim. He said, this is the entrance to heaven. All tefillot must go. You understand that when you go to the Kotel HaMa'aravi? When you pray by the Kotel, boom, direct, straight. You can whisper. It goes straight up. There's no interference. But when you pray in Chutz La'aretz, he says, the prayer has to make a long trip, and you hope that it'll get there. Ba'aderek zeda, ki kama me'akvin, there's a lot of sabotage, or delay is a better word, umekatregin, and prosecutors, yesh letefilot Yisrael kishehen holchot liYerushalayim, on the way to Jerusalem, al yedei hakochot hatemeot shel ovdei kochavim. Listen, there's a lot of tum'ah in the world. It has to pass all the nations of the goyim. The nations of the goyim have tum'ah. When you're in Yerushalayim, it doesn't have to pass anything. Do not pass, go. Boom, it goes straight up. But over here, it has to pass all the countries with all the tumot. Ufichach, yeshlanu litbonen, we have to ponder, kama anu hayavim litaher atzmenu, velitkaven betfilotenu, how much extra kabbalah do you need בהיותנו מתפללים בחוץ על הארץ. In Chutz Al Ha'aretz, in the exile, you need to exert much more energy in the tefillah because it's much harder for the tefillah to be accepted. This explains to me customs of people, why people go to Israel to pray. You see, if somebody, the cynics always say, what do you have to go to Israel to pray for? God is everywhere. Well, God is all over the world. What are they going to Israel for? What are they running away to Israel for? Yes, I believe God is everywhere. But it's much easier to make a local call than a long distance call. The local call doesn't have any interference. The long distance call, we hope it makes it to Yerushalayim. We hope it makes it to Yerushalayim. So listen to the hadush that I saw here. There's certain people that you don't have to go to God. God comes to them. One of those people is a sick person. Lo aleinu, when a person is sick, it says the Shekhinah rests on top of his head. There's a halakha, when you come to visit a sick person, you have to stand a little away from his head, because the Shekhinah is on top of his head. Hashem yisa'adenu al eres debay. Over a sick person, the Shekhinah, the person wants to be in the presence of the Shekhinah, he should make Bikur Cholim visit. At the moment that you make Bikur Cholim, you're in the presence not only of your sick person, the Shekhinah is there. Oh, wait. When Yishmael ran away, he was outside of Eretz Israel. And now he's praying. Normally what's supposed to happen, the prayer has to go from where he is all the way to Jerusalem. But the rabbi says, since he was sick, the Shekhinah came to him. And therefore the Pasuk says, Ki shama Elohim et kol ha-na'ar ba'asher hu sham. He answered him over there. He answered him as a direct call. Because since the Shekhinah is on him, and that's what the Gemara says, God forbid if a person's sick, his prayers are better for himself than prayers of somebody else praying for him. Sometimes a sick person says to somebody, please pray for me. Of course we're going to pray for you, but you have the Shekhinah over your head. Our prayers for the sick person have to go all the way to Jerusalem. We hope it gets there. The sick person, right on top of him, Shekhinah, boom, local call, easy, domestic, he doesn't have to take out a passport. Bashir Husham. From this Sha'arei Ora, we learn a big secret. That if the Shekhinah is resting upon a person, his prayers will be answered. He has a better chance. The Gemara in Sotah says, God says to the arrogant person, I cannot dwell in the same world where there's an arrogant person. God cannot tolerate the arrogant person. God says, if anybody has a right to be arrogant, it's me, God Almighty. Adonai malach geut lavesh. Somebody that's arrogant, God says, you're wearing my crown, you're wearing my robe, you're holding my scepter. And the Gemara in Sotah says that just like God runs away from the ga'ava, God rests on top of the head of the humble person. Listen to a hadush. You don't have to be sick, God forbid, to have the Shekhinah rest on you. The Gemara quotes a pasuk, Ve'et deka ushfal ruach. God says, Ve'et deka. Deka is a sick person. I am with the sick person, deka ushfal ruach. And I'm also with the humble and the low one. Now I understand what the rabbi meant, that before you pray, you should work on humility. Because then you could pray even in Chutz La'aretz. You could pray 5,000 miles away from Jerusalem. But since the Shekhinah is above the person, because he doesn't boast and he doesn't brag and he's not stuck up with himself, and in his mind he has proper attitudes, he knows his weaknesses, he remembers his sins, he knows he's not perfect, he's not a faker, he knows how to say, I don't know when he doesn't know. He doesn't talk about himself, so on and so forth. Humility, whatever humility is, go open the books and learn about humility. Oh, that's the greatest condition for prayers to be answered. If you want somebody to pray for you, you can go to the biggest rabbi, that'll help you, I'm sure. But do you want to know the secret? Go find the most humble man in the synagogue. Doesn't have to be the biggest rabbi. But know that where that man sits, not in the front row necessarily, could be he's in the back row hiding, because the humble guy hides in the back. Go give him your name and say, do me a favor. What are you coming to me for? All the tzaddikim, all that. You're the best guy. The Shekhinah is sitting with you. By the time their prayers get to Jerusalem, who knows if anything's going to be left. All the scavengers grab the piece of it. By the time they get to Jerusalem, the paper's all shredded. You, the tefillah will be answered on the spot. It's like sending a one thing Pony Express. It takes 10 days to get there. This is an email. It gets there in 1 second. And this is the way the Mefarshi explained the Pasuk. God tells Moshe Rabbeinu when he gets to Yam Suf, Vayomer Adonai el Moshe, God tells Moshe, Mat Tetzak Elai. You're crying to me, you're screaming to me, Tetzak Elai, you're screaming that you want a miracle. You know what the best way to get answered? Ma. What is Ma? Ma represents the humility, like Moshe Rabbeinu said, Benachnu Ma. You want your prayers to be answered? Ma Tetzak Elai. Before Tetzak Elai, you have to have Ma. First you have to have the inyan of ma, what am I? Ma ani, ma hayai. Once you have the ma, then tz'ak elai. Then you can cry out to me. But if you're just going to cry out with hazanut, with shaking, with all kavanot, but there's no ma, you're wasting your time. The prerequisite to every tz'ak elai must be a ma tz'ak elai, and that's why the targum comes along and says, Va'amar Adonai le-Moshe, Kabilit selotach. I accepted your prayers. I accepted your prayers already because you're the greatest, most humble man that ever lived. And therefore your prayers, even though you're praying from Egypt, even though you're in Chutz La'aretz, don't worry, nobody's able to touch your prayer. You're talking to me face to face. Your prayer is a ma. And if there's a ma, then the tefillah is automatic. By the way, I'm looking at it now. Ma tetz'ak elai. What's the first word of ma? Mem. Tetzak is what? Taf. Elai? Aleph. Those are the three letters. The Mem is Ma, the Taf is Tola'at, and the Aleph is Efer. Ma Tetzak Elai is those three letters. The three letters of Emet. The three letters that represent the three most humble people. And I'll say something else now. When a person has ma, humility, then tetzak elai. Then it's direct, elai. It doesn't have to go through any barriers or any messengers. Elai, it's to me, it's direct. How important is this, what I'm telling you? I don't know, I went to my old school, they taught me about kavanah and the prayers. Nobody ever taught me about humility. They never told me in the Sidur that before you open the book, you have to work on humility. They didn't teach me this prerequisite. They told me the words, what they mean. So I always thought, naive, I thought whoever knows the words, whoever can read the fastest without making a mistake, go to a minyan of 10 people, that's it, it's a shoo-in. And all of a sudden I get older, I start opening up these books. I say, oh, you forgot the main ingredient. You forgot the main ingredient, especially if you're not in Israel. Because if you're in Israel, God is there. But if you're not in Israel, you have to bring God to you. And God doesn't come to everybody. Of course, He's everywhere. No question about it. Don't get me wrong. He's everywhere. But He comes and rests over a sick person. And He comes and He rests over a humble person. And therefore, I learn over here that the key is Ma. So I once said the following Hadush. If you look in the beginning of the Torah, Bereshit bara Elohim. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Bereshit bara Elohim. So the Gemara says a pasuk on this. Rosh devarecha emet. Gemara says, whenever a painter makes a painting, in the corner he signs his name. You see in the corner Picasso, it says. Or Renoir, or Delacroix, whatever the name of the artist is. They sign their name. God writes the Torah. God has to sign his name. How does God sign his name? The Gemara says God's stamp is Emet. Aleph Mem Taf. That's how he signs. Emet. He puts a signature, Emet. Anytime you see a document with the signature Emet, it's God's document. So when God's going to write the Torah, he has to put his signature. So the rabbis say, yeah, look at the first three words of the Torah. What's the last letter of Bereshit? Taf. Bara, Aleph. Elohim, Mem. Those three letters spell Emet. I know what you're thinking. You say, but it's out of order. It's out of order. What kind of Emet? It's Emet. If God wanted to sign his name, imagine, and if Picasso signs his name, C-A-P-A-S, Capasso, you spell it backwards? No, it's the letters. It says Picasso. It's the letters of Picasso. What do you mean? It's three letters. Spell it Emet. What do you have to spell it? The Taf first, and then the Aleph. So, just to make you feel better, at the end of a creation, after God finishes the 6 days, and the creation is finished, it says at the end of the creation, God blessed the seventh day, God rested, Asher bara Elohim la'asot. The last three words of creation are bara, the last letter of bara is aleph, Elohim is a mem, la'asot is a taf. Oh, Emet. So at the end of creation, he signed his name, Emet. But at the beginning of creation, he signed his name, dyslexic. It's not in order. What's the explanation? I'll tell you the explanation. When God starts the book of the Torah, he's coming to teach you a lesson. Rabotai. The most important trait in Judaism is humility. If you have humility, then all the mitzvot will come to you, and Yirat Shamayim, and your tefillah will be answered. And if you have ga'ava, you can be the biggest tzaddik. Like the Chovot HaLevavot said, you could be the biggest tzaddik, but your righteousness will lead you to become holier than thou. And if you have that attitude of ga'ava, your sins are a negative. Your sins are a liability. Your mitzvot are a negative. Your mitzvot are a liability. Because your mitzvot are only bringing you to ego. And the sins of the Baal Teshuvah are an asset. Because the sins of the Baal Teshuvah make him feel humble. Now I ask you a question. I told you three tzaddikim. Abraham, David, and Moshe. Who was the most humble of the three? Moshe. You said good. But you have to tell me why. Very good. Very good. You're perfect. You said perfect. I couldn't say better. I'll tell you what you said. Avraham Avinu, when he refers to himself, he says, I'm ashes. Okay, but ashes is something. David HaMelech says, I'm a worm. Worm is something. It's not so important, but it's something. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Ma, I'm nothing. I'm not ashes, I'm not a worm. I'm nothing. So Moshe Rabbeinu is the highest level. Okay, so put Moshe Rabbeinu out. Between Abraham and David, which one's more humble? Ashes or a worm? Why? You have to tell me why. Ashes, why?
No, the worm.
The worm or ashes? Maybe I'll argue. I could argue with you. No question. But maybe, you're right, but I'll tell you another way. But I'll tell you another way. I heard you, but I'll tell you another way. I can tell you, I heard you, but I'll tell you another way. The worm is alive. The worm has life. At least it's a creature that has life. The ashes is inanimate. The ashes is nothing. It's lifeless. So therefore, Abraham is higher than David. So therefore, the order of humility You can't start to be like Moshe. You can't start to be like Moshe. It's the highest level. First you have to start like David to be Tola'at. And then after you be Tola'at, you go to the next level to be what? Efer. And after you become Efer, then you can become Ma. But you have to go gradually. And therefore when the Torah begins, the Torah says Bereshit. First it says a Taf at the end. First, don't try to conquer humility in one day. Start with the Taf, start with Tola'at. After that, Bara. Then become Efer. Then you graduated. And then Elohim. Then already you'll get to Ma. So the order is not out of order. The order of those three letters, Emet, is God's way of teaching the person how to gradually reach these Madrigot. To be honest with you, this midah takes many years to work on. It's a lifetime achievement, but it's definitely something to work on. All of you know, there's nobody more repulsive than the arrogant person. Even on earth, nobody likes to be in the presence of somebody that's always talking about themselves. Somebody that's always showing off. Somebody that's very ostentatious. Somebody that's always obsessed with themselves and has to be the center of attention. Even people on earth don't want to be close to these type of people. And there's nobody more attractive than the humble person. David HaMelech said, "Bil'anavim yiten hen." To the humble person, he has a certain charm. There's a certain grace to a humble person. When somebody genuinely has humility, people have a certain attraction. And just like people are attracted to the humble man, God is attracted to the humble man. And that's what God tells Moshe Rabbeinu. Ma tis'ak elai. If you want the tefillah to be elai, to be directly to me, it must be with ma. I'll tell you one more hiddush now. There's a halakha that says, and then I have to go, it's already the time. Although I have much more to say, but we'll cut it over here. We said a big hadush today. You're right. Guilty. The halakha says you're not allowed to eat before you pray. Before you pray in the morning. You can't eat. The person wakes up in the morning, the first thing they do, I have to pray. Shacharit. Of course, people don't know that. I go to hotels all over the world. I see people in the morning, they're eating breakfast, waffles, pancakes. Did you pray Shacharit yet? No, the breakfast is going to close. The breakfast is going to close. So the breakfast closed. You'll call room service, but the breakfast is going to close. No, I cannot wait. The breakfast is going to close. But did you pray yet? I'll pray. God's not going anywhere, but the breakfast is closing. It's a mistake. How could you eat before you check in with God? Before you go to Borei Olam? Cappuccinos and all this type of delicious things. Ask your rabbi what the halakha is. Maybe a glass of water before tefillah is okay, a cup of coffee is okay. But to have a continental breakfast before tefillah, that's unacceptable. Where do we learn this from? It's a pasuk in the Torah. There's a pasuk in the Torah that says, don't eat before you pray. You can't believe there's a pasuk like this. The pasuk says, Lo tochlu al hadam. Everybody, every man, woman. Lo tochlu al hadam. No, not bo. Lo tochlu al hadam is in Vayikra. What does it mean, lo tochlu al hadam? Don't eat on the blood. Yeah, the blood. What does it mean? I don't even know what it means. So the rabbis explain. Don't eat before you pray for your blood, meaning before you pray for your own. Lo tochlu al adam. Don't eat before you pray for your. But I once saw a deeper interpretation. How do you call a human being? Adam. My basar v'adam. Adam. We're all called Adam. Bene Adam. A human being is called Adam because basically Adama, or the main fluid of life, is blood. Therefore, the root word of Adam is Dam. However, there's another part of Adam that's very important, and without it you can't exist. And that's God. God is the Aleph. So a human being is made up of Aleph, which is the oneness of God, and Dam. So when you take an Aleph plus the blood, you have Adam. So the Pasuk says, Lo tochnu al hadam. Don't eat when you're just Dam. You must put the Aleph in your name. And how do you do that? You pray to God. But in the morning when you wake up, you're not Adam, you're just Dam. So you need to say to Borei Olam, the 18 berachot of the Amidah, you need to say Kiryat Shema, that puts the Aleph in. But don't eat when you're still only Dam. Lo tuklu al Adam. You have to eat only when you become Adam. And after a person prays, he's Adam. Or I say better, while a person prays, he's Adam. Oh, everybody prays. Who doesn't pray? I never saw anybody doesn't pray. Everybody prays. I don't mean praying with the Siddur necessarily. Praying to God. Everybody always says, talks to God in their own language. Doesn't have to be a mechanical prayer from a book. Now ladies, what is the numerical value? I had to give you the gematria. One gematria and then I feel better. What's the numerical value of Adam? Aleph is 1. Dalet is 40. And Dalet is 4 and Mem is 40. Adam equals 45. Oh, you know what also equals 45? Ma. Mem he, which is the word of humility. Ma ani, ma hayai, ma titzak elai, benachnu ma. The name of a human being is called Adam because it's coming to teach you that the main trait of Adam is the gematria of ma. And therefore when a person prays to God, he becomes Adam. The prayer is supposed to be done with humility. Adam gematria ma. But if the prayer is made with ga'ava, then you're not an Adam. Then you're not called, then chas v'shalom, you're something else, and God only listens to the prayers of Adam. Adam ki yakrib mikim korban. And therefore, the Rama was right when he said it. Before you make a tefillah, when you enter the synagogue, you have to be totally effaced. When you sit down in your corner of your house, and you open the siddur to pray shacharit, at that moment over there, there's no room for... Sometimes I see people sitting in the synagogue, they're sitting like this in the synagogue with their legs crossed. Where are you sitting? In a baseball game? Where do you think you're sitting? Go sit in the White House with your legs crossed like that, with you, shaking your leg like this, or screaming across the room, or things... In the Bet Knesset, there's no ego, there's no I. I'll conclude with one story to show you how difficult this is. There was once a big rabbi called Rav Yonatan Eibeshitz. Rav Yonatan Eibeshitz was in the shul on Yom Kippur, and he's standing next to an old man, and the old man is praying. In the prayers he's crying, I'm nothing, I'm zero, I'm worthless, I'm ashes, I'm a worm. So Eibeshitz says, wow, what a tzaddik this guy. I never saw a guy, so what a humble guy. After they finish praying, now they take out the Sefer Torah. So the Gabbai goes to this old man and says, please, we want you to go up Aliyat Rivi'i, the fourth Aliyah. He says, the fourth Aliyah? Do you know who I am? I don't go up the fourth Aliyah. I only go up Aliyat Shishi. So Rabbi Eibeshitz turns to the guy and says, I don't understand. You kept on saying, I'm nothing, I'm zero, I'm worthless. Now you say, you only go up. He says, Rabbi, I have an answer. He says, when I'm praying, I'm talking to God. Compared to God, I'm nothing. But compared to that guy, oh, you see, this is where the challenge. It's easy to be humble in front of God, but the challenge of humility is to be humble in front of the human being. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen.